This month, the presenting organizations Bowerbird and the Slott Foundation are mounting a two-prong retrospective of a 20th century composer with a Philadelphia connection. That Which Is Fundamental is a concert series and visual exhibit of the life and work of Julius Eastman, who managed to produce a lot in a short life. WHYY's Kimberly Haas offers this preview.
At first glance, it's a classic tale of wasted talent. A piano prodigy with an exclusive conservatory education. And then, dogged by alcohol and drugs, homeless and dead at the age of 50.
There's this story of tragedy that sort of surrounds him.
Dustin Hurt says Julius Eastman's story is complicated. Hurt is director of the presenting organization Bowerbird in West Philadelphia.
His creative life extended from about 1968 to 1983 or 84, and he actually accomplished quite a lot. He composed about 50 compositions. He was well regarded as a singer, Grammy nominated, performed with the New York Philharmonic, toured the world. And I think there's an opportunity to introduce that into the story of this was a person who accomplished a lot.
Julius Eastman came to Philadelphia in the early 1960s to attend the Curtis Institute of Music. After growing up in a working-class black neighborhood, the rarefied atmosphere of Curtis was a tough fit. It wasn't his first encounter with feeling like an outsider. The African-American community in Eastman's hometown of Ithaca, New York, was not friendly to a gay man either. But his talent carried him through. Despite having studied the instrument for only 6 years, he was admitted as a piano major, though ultimately he switched to composition. Speaking over Skype, fellow composer David Borden remembers Eastman as a sort of Renaissance man.
You know, he's a great choreographer, fantastic pianist, a great composer, and a great singer. He could do it all.
Musically, it was a revolutionary time, from free jazz, experiments in rock music, and composers breaking free from the Western classical tradition. Eastman made a mark as a singer, his rich baritone giving the definitive performance of Eight Songs for a Mad King by British composer Peter Maxwell Davies. In his own compositions, he reveled in dramatic juxtapositions, improvisation, and provocative titles and stagings. The challenge was not the making of art, but how to make a living from it. Many composers found security in academia, but Borden says it wasn't a good fit for Eastman.
He could come to your class and be fantastic for an hour, but if you asked him to do that for 5 years of semesters, he just found that so dull.
Eastman gravitated first to Buffalo, New York, an epicenter of modern music at the time, then to New York City's downtown music scene. Without a reliable source of income, he succumbed to the stresses of the city, struggling with alcohol and drugs, and becoming homeless, dying in 1990. For years, it seemed like the story would end there. But recently, there's been a resurgence of interest in Julius Eastman. A 3-disc recording, a book about his life, a video of one of his piano works, and an homage by interdisciplinary artist Jace Clayton, including a performance at the Barnes Foundation last year. And this month, a concert series and visual exhibit are being mounted in Philadelphia by Bowerbird and the Slott Foundation. Dustin Hurt is co-curator and says they wanted to reflect the wide range of Eastman's musical interests.
We took the opportunity to engage with lots of different musicians. So there's musicians that are involved in the concerts. You know, they only do orchestra gigs, and then sitting right next to them is someone that's in the Sun Ra Orchestra. So this is something that the openness of Julius's music really allows.
That openness includes leaving much up to the performers to decide, even which instruments to use.
There's 3 pieces that are actually written for multiples of any instrument, for any number of instruments that are the same. And so we are doing one of them. The piece is called Gay Gorilla, as in like guerrilla warfare, often performed as a piece for 4 pianos, which I'm doing a special version of for 15 electric guitars.
For the companion visual exhibit, co-curator Tiana Nakia McLaughlin arranged photographs, scores, and other Eastman artifacts alongside the work of 10 contemporary artists.
I'm looking at notions of absence, exhaustion, in terms of like just pushing everything to the limits. Also really, really trying to bring in folks who I felt I could talk about in relationship to Eastman's biography as well as some of his works.
All this activity, nearly 30 years after his death, raises the question, why now? As a queer African-American woman, McLaughlin has personal reasons for her interest.
Sometimes when hostile political times where people feel very silenced, they look to people who were kind of pushing it, like how to bring their own personal identities within very conservative spaces, right? And I think Eastman is someone who's pushing it. It's kind of like someone that you kind of want to be.
Dustin Hurt thinks one reason is a change of views about race.
I think something really shifted in the public consciousness, people of color, African-American artists, and how they're being perceived both historically and now. And this fit into a wider context of what was going on with police shootings and the political climate, but also there's a desire in some sense to put it right that I think is a lot different than maybe other times in history.
Julius Eastman, That Which Is Fundamental, runs through May 28th at the Slott Foundation, with concerts on Friday nights at the Rotunda, both in West Philadelphia. Kimberly Haas, WHYY News.